She's standing in line at the grocery store, waiting somewhat impatiently for the transaction ahead of her to be completed so she can get on with her day. Rather than staring down the cashier, she turns her attention to the magazine rack. Headlines about movie stars and athletes, politicians and billionaires abound. Then something catches her attention. From behind the wire rack, a small child with a protruding belly looks out at her. Famine. Halfway around the world. All the while, she stands in line at a grocery store with too many choices, buying a cart full of food, some of which she knows she'll throw away. But what can she do? He is in a hurry. It's been one of those mornings, the kind of mornings that have grown more common since his daughter turned two. "Me do it," are her favorite words. But for her daddy, those words simply mean he might be late for work again. And yet he loves these mornings with her and loves watching her become more capable. He especially loves seeing the joy on her face when she gets her sweater on all by herself. But now she's been dropped off. He's working hard to not go over the speed limit. If everything goes just right, he'll get to his desk before his coworker. Then the stoplight turns red. And sitting there is a woman, dirty and thin, with a sign that says, "Anything helps." He wonders to himself, is she a con artist? Does she really have need? What if she does? And he, with his good job and his new car and his happy life, just drives by. What can he do? What should he do? If we are paying attention, there are people all around us who are in need. Not all of them show up on magazine covers. Not all of them sit at corners along our drive to work. Not all of them even look like they have needs. And too often, even when they do, we have built up such barriers that we are easily able to pass by, to talk ourselves out of helping, to not even listen to their stories, to not even notice their need. And yet so many of the stories of Jesus are stories of him pausing, looking people in the eye, responding, helping, healing. In today's reading, we heard two stories of Jesus healing people, and there are many ways that the stories are similar, as well as some significant ways that they are different from each other. In the first story, a woman comes to him. She is a Gentile, and she comes on behalf of her daughter. Her combined love for her daughter and confidence in Jesus work together to give her the courage to stand up for her cause when she is first turned down. While Jesus' first impulse is not to give her the time of day, because of that mother's bravery, Jesus tells her to return to her daughter, and she will find the child is healed. In the second story, a deaf man with a speech impediment is brought to Jesus. Again, it is others who beg Jesus' attention, but this time Jesus responds seemingly immediately, and this time he heals not at a distance but through touch, though not as a public act. Instead, he takes the man aside and he touches the man, and in those acts, Mark tells us, his ears were opened and his tongue released. And in spite of Jesus' insistence that they not talk about what just happened, They, seemingly both the man who was healed and his friends, couldn't stop talking about what Jesus had done. When we look at today's readings, we may have many reactions. There are questions that range from why was Jesus not more welcoming of the Gentile woman, to was his response about testing her, or was her response what changed him, what opened his world view a little wider? Questions that range from, why did spit have to be involved in that second healing? We all wonder, don't we? To, did he respond quicker the second time because the one needing healing was a man? Or maybe, we're not told, but maybe he was Jewish. Or maybe just because Jesus had learned something. There are many questions, and many questions that we would do well to spend some time with in these stories. But for all the questions that arise, at the end of this reading, we are left with two more reminders that responding to the needs of others, though not always easy, even for Jesus, is at his core. While it seems, especially in that first story, that Mark is showing us that the incarnation is not a cakewalk, still Jesus gets there. Even as he is blinded by his mission, even as he has to readjust his thinking, even as he has to pause in a new way and think about the one in front of him differently than he first did, still Jesus gets there. And this is important for us to be reminded of, because we too live in a world filled with people who have needs. At the root of their needs may be things ranging from poverty to hunger, from mental illness to unemployment, from broken relationships to insufficient housing, and more. And the ones we may be responding to might be a stranger or a friend, may even be an enemy or someone living in our own home. But at the end of the day, as those who claim to be followers of Jesus, we are called to respond. And in many ways, it's good that we have both of these stories that Beth read for us today, because they show us the complexity. Not only do we see in Jesus a person who is more eager to respond to one person than the other, we also see in his methods the reality that response happens in various ways. Not only do we see in Jesus someone who needs to be reminded that his mission may be bigger than he hopes, we also see someone who is willing to take time out of his busy schedule and to focus on those who are in front of him. And we need this, because sometimes we don't know how to respond. Sometimes we simply don't want to respond. Sometimes the response that is needed isn't exactly what is asked for and isn't exactly what we hope to offer. Sometimes we have to find our way to openness or get out of our own way so that God can move through us. Sometimes we have to set aside our own mission and just pay attention to the people around us. Because while we can appreciate the complexity of the questions, while we know how difficult it can be to respond and to know that what we are doing matters, while we sometimes don't know if or how to help, we can take comfort in the fact that Jesus seemed to face these same dilemmas. And meanwhile, we might not want to let those be excuses for our not responding. See, the other thing these stories do is that they don't let us off the hook just because we don't know what to do. Rather, just as the woman called Jesus to be his best self, our faith calls us to be our best selves as well. These stories remind us that just as Jesus was called, we who follow him are called as well. These stories remind us that just as the reach of his response was intended to be wide, so is ours, because all people are God's children. We are reminded by New Testament scholar Mitzi Miner that Jesus' actions illustrated that a worthless Gentile girl whose mind was devoured by a demon and a good-for-nothing deaf man who couldn't speak clearly were indeed children of God to be embraced and valued. This calls forth our recognition that there are no external barriers between God and people, not race or class or ethnicity or gender or age or physical condition or make the list. Consequently, there should be no barriers between human beings. And so we, like Jesus, are called to keep on keeping on. We are called to keep working through the things that stop us. We are called to keep working through our questions and our hesitations, even our bigotries and our prejudices. And we are called to share the resources we have, resources of compassion and food, of friendship and support, with those we meet. This year, with the help of the Mission and Witness team, we have been focusing on hunger. And we've had some opportunities to respond already this year. We have more coming up. As we mentioned earlier today, in 2 weeks, we as a group will be participating in the Feed My Starving Children food pack. And today, we're kicking off this new opportunity with the goal of filling an ark for Heifer International. As you heard in Children's Moment, this organization has been working for over 70 years and works with a model of providing animals and caring for the earth in ways that help create a sustainable living, not just for one family, but for communities, and include women. We will continue to share more information about this project, and we're going to continue to watch our ark as it fills up, representing the efforts and the monies we raise. But meanwhile, we are reminded that we are called to be paying attention to the world and to the people around us, and to respond to the needs that we see and to those we would sometimes rather not see. And while we will sometimes do this through joint efforts like the food pack and filling the ark, this is not just about programs and projects. As people of faith, we who have more than we need are called to share, to give food, to give compassion, to give time, to give care. And we are called to be open, to listen beyond our hesitation and our fear, beyond our questions and the answers we think we have. We are called to listen as Jesus did, to stop and be present as Jesus was, that in our time and our place, with the people we meet, we may be his hands and his feet. May it be so.